Joe Biden grants $20 billion to fix cybersecurity infrastructure. Microsoft Word now has dark mode, fraud versus misinformation, which is harder to control, and part two of Everything Ransomware. All that and more next on The Computer Doctor Show.
You're listening to The Computer Doctor Show, your source for technology subjects affecting your business and personal life during this new normal. Your host is an award-winning office technician and IT specialist, author, tutor, ethical hacker, and recent winner on localbest.com as the best computer shop in Tucson. Broadcasting live, here's Aaron Moss.
Hello, Tucson. Welcome to the Computer Doctor Show, episode 45. I'm Aaron Moss, your host. Good to have you with us every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KBY, 1030 The Voice, local news and talk. We post all of our shows and bonus content on ComputerDoctorShow.com. Again, ComputerDoctorShow.com. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. Feel free to call in anytime with your comments and questions and even complaints. Bring it on. If you have a problem, I can fix it here. That's why I have to maintain my composure as being the best in Tucson, because anyone can call in with complaints, and I have to answer. Co-hosting with me today, we have Mike and Chris. They are both cast members of the Unscrewed Theater. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks.
All right. We have an excellent show for you today, so we're going to get right into our top tech news stories this week. So if you're wondering what field you want to get into, there has been $20 billion allocated to fix the cybersecurity threats in the United States. So we had a question about how much $20 billion
with a B.
Yes, it's being granted out there. This was announced by Joe Biden, and there's this big threat of cyber, you know, of cyber stuff being a problem.
That's
now
the technical term for it. Cyber stuff.
Everything's yeah. Cyber. Okay, we just had this terrible ransomware attack on
the pipeline,
Colonial Pipeline, mm-hmm. and that has kind of raised everyone's awareness of the cyber attacks and ransomware specifically. So they have actually said that it was the biggest threat of our time. So we need to get a handle on it. So if you have a desire to get into cybersecurity, you are encouraged to.
Now's the time.
And there are lots of colleges that are offering extra bonuses and grants for cybersecurity training. So that's definitely the part that you want to be into. So also... We found out this week that Microsoft Word now has dark mode. So,
wait, is that what I think that it? No, it can't be what I think that means.
I'm lost myself. I would like to understand this more.
Okay, so the dark mode is basically instead of everything being light colored on the screen, it now has a darker tint to it.
Oh,
now
so it's easier on the eyes or something.
Easy on the eyes. So. I don't know how old you guys are, but I'm starting to realize, me at 42 years old, I'm starting to find it a lot easier in my eyes to see something on a black screen with white letters than a white screen with black letters.
Right.
It's much more easier in the eyes, especially you spend a lot of time in front of a screen.
Sure.
Now, Tucson actually has lots of authors. Do you know any authors in Tucson?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Do you know them personally, or are you asking, like, esoterically know their work?
Are you familiar with any authors?
Yeah.
So
I personally know at least one.
Yes. Okay. Oh, we both know that person.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, if not more.
There's actually a lot of authors here that live here in Tucson. A lot of people, I'm not sure if it's like on what level it is, but authors.
It's the humidity.
Could be. And, you know, there's a lot of people with a lot of life experience here. Okay.
Yeah. No doubt.
So, and these people, what are they doing? They're writing books, a lot of them. So,
yeah.
So if they're writing a book in Microsoft Word, which a lot of them do, They can now take advantage of this dark mode. They can actually probably a lot easier on the eyes, and they can actually probably work. I think there is an author that is actually listening right now. If she is listening, then hopefully the next time I speak to her, I don't want to mention her name. I don't want to embarrass her, but yeah, she does that.
Hello, J.A. Jantz. We love you.
This next story I did want to spend just a little bit more time on. This was actually mentioned on the KOLD website. It was an article about fraud and misinformation. What do you think is harder to control, fraud or misinformation?
Oh, that one. That
yeah,
one.
Misinformation.
The second one. The second one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So what's the difference between what's the difference between fraud and misinformation? Now, fraud is a type of misinformation.
You know?
Because it used to be that if you wanted to fraud somebody, you only had to maybe lie once or, you know, forge a signature like on one document or manufacture maybe one piece of evidence. That was, bam. That one document was fraud.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Like it could be a check, it could be a contract, something.
So that's analog fraud.
Analog fraud.
Forgery.
Forgery fraud.
Forgery fraud, yeah. Okay. Now these days, even if like if you buy a car, you buy a house, now you just get those DocuSign things. You just click to sign. Mm-hmm. And that's not even your signature.
I know.
Yeah. I just closed on a refi earlier this year. And I click and it said my name in very nicely cursive handwriting that I can't accomplish. And kaboom, it went through.
It is so much nicer than my signature.
Yeah.
So we have to have like a there's a new security of as far as signatures go, but that's just the tip of the iceberg as far as when we're talking about fraud. Mm-hmm. So that's what fraud is. So misinformation is a huge area. Okay, mm-hmm. Because this goes into like fake news, deep fakes. We talked about lots of like I don't know if you've seen the video of the Queen of England.
No,
she had it was labeled deep fake.
Uh-huh.
But she was going on and on about how she didn't want her son to leave the house and how she didn't approve of the marriage and you know all these. But she never really said that.
Right. Okay,
but her face was there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was a computer-generated face.
The image was computer-generated.
It was...
On the fly.
It looked extremely real.
Yeah.
Extremely real. So real that if it didn't say the word fake on it, I would have believed that this actually happened.
That is... I mean, that's a combination of fraud and misinformation, right? Because it's the images are fraudulent, mm-hmm. and it's perpetuating misinformation because she did not say those things.
Mm-hmm. But some people will think that they had. And if they turn around and share that video, they're kind of perpetuating as if it's truth from them.
Exactly.
And then if there's somebody else that watches, okay, yeah, Chris said that, and I believe what Chris says.
Yeah, always.
Bam.
That's my motto.
Believe everything I say.
But, you know, that's where it starts. You see, it starts with these.
It does.
It starts with these misinformation.
So you can unknowingly be a misinformation accomplice.
Yeah,
you can.
And you didn't commit the fraud personally. You didn't deep fake that video. Mm-hmm. You were simply propagated it.
I feel so guilty.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah,
I believe that for a long time, Chris.
Well, this kind of goes back to like the days of the chain letters. You know, you get these chain, and if you believed it, you would turn around and recopy that letter and resend it out to other people if you mm-hmm. believed it. You
10 know? Times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? And there is the email, too. The email chains send this off to 10, 10 contacts, right?
Yeah. Or else something bad will happen to you. Mm-hmm. And if you did, something good will happen to you. You mm-hmm. know? So the same concept of that has now changed hands and it's now in the social media world. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, the media is, you know, causing all these problems. Well, guess what? We are the media, you know.
We are the media.
We are the media.
Tattoo that on your forehead.
But that's why we need to be extremely careful of the things that we spread and the things that we believe ourselves. We have to make sure even the things that we believe like in our very, very deep soul, you know?
Right.
So we have to make sure that it's based on truth, because there's so many non-truths or misinformation that's out there. They actually did this. This is a little bit off topic, but they actually did this experiment inside of an elevator where they put a bunch of people in an elevator, but everybody was, this group of people in the elevator, they were part of a trick.
Right.
And they were told to face the back of the elevator.
Right.
And so an unsuspecting person would get into the elevator. They would see that everybody else was not facing the front, which is natural. You want to face the door. They were facing the back. And they had all kinds of people, you know, trying to be strong and face the front. But over time, you would notice that they would be slowly trying to conform to what everybody else was doing.
I thought they were just trying to look at something on the other side of the elevator. And I wanted to see it, too.
Social pressure is real.
So that's the key. So if someone is led to believe that everybody else is doing it, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they feel compelled to believe only because of others believing it too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in that same way, when we talk about misinformation, there are people that have lots and lots of means. Okay. We're talking about money, lots of time. They can hire people to do all kinds of things. And what they'll do is they will buy a bunch, they'll buy maybe hundreds, maybe even thousands of domains.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it could be like a news.com, it could be a news14.com, or, you know, ABC News 7 channel, .com. They'll make up a whole bunch of these that are available. You can buy them for $15 each, or sometimes $1 each if you buy them in bulk. And
they sound real.
They sound legitimate. They sound real.
They look legitimate too.
Okay. And then they start making these videos, okay, mm-hmm. These videos that are very believable. It may look like a news anchor that you may have known and trusted for a long time. And then they put that on their website, and then they put it through the social media, and other people are sharing it.
Mm-hmm.
And now this, from this one person that went through all the trouble to buy all of this stuff and buy all these domains, they can now, and they are now in a position to create a lie and then propagate it as if it's truth, and they can actually sway entire cities, entire states, entire countries, and even the entire world into believing that something is true when in actuality it was just a figment of one person's imagination.
Yeah.
If they have it. So that is why misinformation is so hard to control.
So hard.
Because of how much power it has among other people, you know? And that's also why theoretically there could be a conspiracy theory on just about any interesting event.
I think I need to share that information on Facebook.
As long as it's true.
Well, it came from Aaron, and I trust Aaron.
I trust Aaron.
I trust myself, and I hope everybody else does too. But we're gonna take a quick break. Up next, some tech anniversaries, and as time allows, some protection about ransomware. Our open lines, 520-790-2040. You're listening to the Computer Doctor Show. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay tuned.
Perfect Look Photography is a photography business that serves individuals, families, wedding parties, children's parties, quinceañeras, and family reunions. We also do headshots for actors and model portfolios. We photograph all types of events in Tucson and communities in Pima and Santa Cruz counties. In addition, we provide more types of photos than any photographer in Tucson, including green screen, art photography, montages, and DVD slideshows. We provide great photos at great prices. For more information or to get a quote, please call 499-4209.
Solar is popping up all over town. Why? Because solar just makes sense. Say goodbye to expensive summer electricity bills. Call or text Julie Festerling at Icon Power, 520-307-1013. Avoid the new 7.9% price increase with the utility company. Call Julie at 520-307-1013. Icon Power will help you take control of your electric bill. Ugly Goose Car Rental is new in Tucson, providing a low-cost auto rental alternative for just $100 per week. The only catch? The cars are ugly, but very safe and reliable to get you to work, school, shopping, and all your important appointments. To reserve your $100 a week car rental, call Ugly Goose Car Rental at 520-261-0439. Again, 520-261-0439.
Computer Doctor of Tucson is the best choice in desktop support in Tucson. They fix error messages, power and boot problems, install of software and hardware, and much more. You can come to them, or they can come to you, or even have a remote support session so they can fix your issues over the phone quickly. Give them a call at 261-5508, 261-5508. Visit them on the web at ComputerDoctorTucson.com. Computer Doctor of Tucson. Because technology is great when it works.
Welcome back to the Computer Doctor Show. Before we get into our next segment, David and... No, Chris.
That's me.
And
I'm Chris.
That's me. What can you tell us about the Unscrewed Theater?
Well, what I can tell you about the Unscrewed Theater is we are a non-profit improv comedy theater located here in Tucson. And for the last 14 months, we have been virtual. And we are continuing to be virtual for a little while longer. So we have shows every Saturday night on Zoom. If you want more information, it is free to sign up for those shows. Go to our website, which is unscrewedtheater.org, and you can get all the information. And we're just very happy that we are able to see a light at the end of the tunnel here for public performances, and we're working towards that.
Okay, I was just about to ask if there is a date in mind.
No date at this time. We are in the planning stages. We've got a couple of steps before we'll be able to open to the public, but as soon as we have our date, you will be the first one to know.
All right, Chris, thank you.
We are okay in being behind this particular curve of opening. If we're a couple months late, that's okay.
Right. Believe it. Believe it here.
Believe it. And share it on Facebook.
All right. And we also want to express some congratulations to all the graduates that graduated this week despite very, very difficult circumstances. I was able to watch the virtual Pima Community College graduation, and I was also able to get little snippets of the U of A graduation. So congratulations to all the graduates, and special congratulations to all those that were into the technology and cybersecurity education area there.
There's $20 billion waiting for you.
Well, they've already got the education, so no.
Maybe it'll help with their student loans.
Yes, absolutely. I'm in favor of that. Here's some tech and science anniversary. So we know the invention of the car was a great thing. Lots of technology there. I'm a great fan too. May 21st, 1901 was the first speed limit law. The first speed limit law came into effect 120 years ago.
Wow.
And
what? Was it five?
Close. So it was actually in the state of Connecticut. The speed limit was made for 12 miles per hour in the city.
Because of all those speed demons in their horseless carriages.
There was a few cars there, but I think they had to go the same speed as the horses and the buggies. So it's about 12 miles per hour. But if now that's for city streets. So if you're driving in the country, you can go at a whizzing 15 miles per hour.
Then you can really top. Yeah, right. Get a little breeze going through there.
All the tops were down.
Yeah, have to have really, really fast reflexes for that kind of speed. Also, May 23rd, 1892, Kodak was founded. So, So Kodak Film and that whole company that brought us all these innovations with cameras and photography. Great American company. They're still around, you know.
Yeah, so they pivoted, haven't they? They're doing all digital stuff now, or what?
Lots of digital stuff. They were best known for their film. A lot of their filming, recording. Media. So, happy anniversary to Kodak.
They are best known to me for the disc camera.
The Kodak disc camera. Was that the circle?
The film was actually a disc, and you would put it in there.
And there were like little negatives on the tips, right? Mm-hmm. It looked like a gear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I remember those.
Did you?
Yeah, my dad had one. Yeah, so. Also, May 24th, 1985, AOL was founded. And
85.
36 years ago.
Wow, and 50 billion free CDs later.
I remember when I used to go to the supermarket, and you would see these racks of free, and it would be like 500 free hours of internet, you know, through AOL.
Yeah.
Or 1,000 free hours of AOL. Of course, this was dial-up service.
Yes. Right. Right. So it took you 999 hours to get connected.
And it's kind of funny to actually go back in time and look at some of the YouTube videos of some of the AOL TV commercials. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, I'll be right with you, Bill. I just have to buy my airline tickets and check my stock quotes and check my email. Okay, I'm done. I said, wait a minute, you couldn't have just done that. You were just sitting at that computer. Well, yes, I did. I now have AOL. You know, it was kind of funny. Yes,
I worked at AT&T during that time, and second lines were the fad,
right,
for the second line for
one,
the dial-up.
One for internet and one for phone
for
calls.
Home. Yep. Yeah, people were putting in second lines left and right just because otherwise they couldn't use the phone, or if they did use the phone, it'd kick you off the internet.
All right. Also, May 24th, 1844, the first long-distance Morse code, that was 177 years ago, the first long-distance Morse code was sent. So that's pretty interesting.
And I think the first message was SOS.
It could have been. Well, that's what ships use. You know, they would use a radio version with Morse codes, and all of the sailors had to memorize it. I mean, there are some cases where Morse code is still in use today.
Right, right.
But it's done extremely fast with computers, and computers send it and computers receive it. And they're done. So Morse code, happy anniversary.
You're not going anywhere. You're here to stay.
Here to stay.
Okay. Now we all know about May the 4th be with you. We had that. But technically, the first Star Wars movie was released on May 25th. That's 3 days ago. That's 3 days away from today. That was 44 years ago, the first Star Wars movie. Now, the reason why we're talking about this is because I gotta hang out with my geek friends.
Wow.
My geek friends are going to know about the first Star Wars.
Boy, that doesn't make you feel old at all, does it?
1977. I was not around in 1977. But hey.
Rub it in.
Has anyone here in my eyesight right now, have you seen the first Star Wars in theater?
Yes. Both of us.
Yes. As a matter of fact.
Oh, I feel so young now.
Yeah. Well, thanks. As a matter of fact, my parents had to go to the movie to watch it before they took me to go see it.
They wanted to make sure it was okay.
Oh,
they
wanted to make sure it was okay.
Well, there's not a whole lot of blood in the first one.
No.
There's lasers and, you know,
right.
Well, deep voices.
A creature gets their arm cut off. That was pretty shocking.
Yeah. Yeah, that was that part. But, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, whether it was appropriate for kids, not for me to judge.
I'm going to say yes.
I did want to take a little bit of time and just do a little bit of this answer one question about ransomware. We're trying to do this series. So this is going to be part two of the ransomware series. Last week, we talked about what is ransomware. And I wanted to answer this question, and that is, how did the ransomware shut down the Colonial Pipeline? So you would think that a pipe, what's computerized about a pipe? Okay, it's a pipe, and you have gas going through it. You got oil, you got jet fuel going through these arrangement of pipes. What does a computer have to do with that? Well, guess what? When you fill up your car with gas, okay, is there a computer involved? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's actually several. There's a computer inside the pump. There's a computer that does what the front inside computer tells them to do, okay, of how much to pump and what's left in the tank. They know they can do an inventory so that they know when it's time to order, and when they order, how much to put back in the tank, that kind of thing. So all kinds of computers are involved with that. So in this case, when it came to the Colonial Pipeline, the dark side, which was this online online people.
Talk about Star Wars.
Yeah. They were actually trying to get money from the accounting computers, but in actuality, when they found that their accounting computers were compromised, they decided to shut down the whole thing. Both sides, both accounting and pumping,
Interesting.
Got it.
So that's the reason why we are in this predicament that we are now. Wow, we are running close to out of time, but before we wrap up, I just want to thank my awesome co-hosts today, Chris and Mike today, and also Tom Fairbanks at the control board, making us sound good. Listen to the Computer Doctor Show every Saturday at 2 p.m. right here on KVY 1030 The Voice. Local news and talk. Stay safe. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And we'll talk to you again next week.